This morning. She just put quarantine for 14 days. The Lord is quarantined today to be here. Well, no, this is the first time she works at McGregor School. And so she has to be quarantined now for some of the ladies who got it.
After I got through that, she doesn't start at 4 and then 6:30 this morning. I had
his bomb pack. Yeah? Let me
see.
Okay, well, let me get this. That's what they both got. The government did verify that all of this, and then there's well, don't they have the same number? How do you know?
Exactly. They get on and we can't.
Almost. I'm just letting it rain, but they have my gift for
Joe. Are you going to use that? Yeah, you actually. I think that's it. Cheap me.
Yeah, I thought I'd dialed it on paper, so we'd want to dial it in, but...
You
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just the start, isn't it?
Huh?
That's just the start.
Are we building now?
And the rest of it, on the rest of the evening.
You building the house from ground up, sir?
Where'd you get the land?
Huh?
Where'd you find some land? Where did you find some land?
Where I find the land?
Uh-huh.
How much you want?
No, I don't want land, I got land. I said, where y'all building it at? Where y'all building it at?
I think he's got it over there.
Okay.
All right, right here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, it's good, man.
You nailed?
I nailed.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm sorry, Mr. President.
By your choice. Okay.
All right.
Greg Williams, nice to meet you.
I'm Greg Williams.
Rick Beaton. Did you use the one?
Can you read my writing? 773? 945? 1029? And what number?
Please enter your access code followed by the pound or hash sign.
91?
No, that part's not connected in here.
Remote audio controls, please enter your audio PIN followed by the pound or hash sign. If you do not have a PIN, just press pound or hash. This conference will now be recorded.
Please turn the button volume on mute, we can hear you talking. We can hear you talking, please put your phone on mute. We can hear you talking, please mute your phone.
Hello? We'll call this meeting to order.
Can you understand what they're saying?
Something about somebody said about retiring and somebody.
Okay. All right, what do you got, guys?
I think that got it, good.
Okay. Y'all ready?
Yes, sir, whenever you want.
Hello, everyone, this is Mayor Bias. In accordance with the Governor Abbott's declaration of the COVID-19 public health threat and action to temporarily suspend certain provisions of the Texas Open Meetings Code, a quorum of the City of Bushwick Council will hold its regular meeting, by telephonic conference, and that's what we're doing here tonight. The meeting is closed to the public. However, the public may join this meeting by calling this number. 1-571-317-3122. Access code 776-772-917. It's, notice has been given that there would be this telephonic meeting tonight, November the 12th, 2020, at 6:30 p.m. It's now 6:33 p.m., and this meeting is now in session. Before we start the agenda, I please ask everyone to rise for an invocation by our Mayor Pro Tem, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the things that you do for us and the things that you provide. We know you are a giving God, a forgiving God, a loving God, a healing God. Lord, there are so many things that you do. Lord, I pray that you will watch over our police department, our fire department, our city workers, our city administrator, our mayor, our city council members, our new members that are coming up. Lord God, I just pray that you'll continue to keep watching over everyone and give them the strength and the wisdom to be able to take care of our city of little Bruce Galletti. We love our town, and we pray that everyone will work toward each with each other to provide good stuff for us. I ask for all these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, one state, under God,
one nation. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
In the regular meetings, we have citizen presentations where people can speak, address the council about anything that is not on the agenda before the meeting starts. And in these telephonic meetings, you have to send an email to the city secretary, and she will read it. Do you have any of those?
I don't have any tonight.
Okay.
Can we do a roll call?
I'm fixing to do a roll call, yeah. Okay. Thank you. The roll call present tonight is the mayor, three council members, city attorney, city administrator, city secretary, chief of police, and our engineer is not available tonight. Is anyone else signing on the phone?
No, but y'all
are
on there.
You don't know, actually.
Okay.
Nope, that's
not on the phone that I'm aware of.
Okay, thank you. Before we start, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank everyone that participated in the recent voting, did your civic duty, and we have new members that have been voted in, and those members of the election results will have to be canvassed, and then the new candidates sworn in at our next meeting, next Tuesday, November, what day is that? 17th. They will be sworn in and take their seats next Tuesday at the regular meeting. On the agenda tonight, we have a public hearing. So at this time, at 6:37, I'm going to adjourn this council meeting and at the same time open this public hearing. And it's now 6:37, the public hearing is now open. Notice has been given that a public hearing would be held tonight at 6:30 p.m. and consider and remarks on a proposed rezoning of a 15.172 acre tract, which is actually two separate pieces of property. I believe property ID is 364236. The physical address is 20102 South Interstate Highway 35, Eddy, Texas 76524. Survey property ID is 364236 and 373981. And where this property is up on the interstate where the old SEPCO station was. One track is already zoned commercial. That's where the existing station was. and they have purchased approximately 15 acres surrounding that. And that is, at this time, zone agricultural, and they want it changed to commercial. And then they're going to put in a new SEPCO station with a huddle house, restaurant, and a truck stop. And hopefully they can begin construction in either January or February.
In January or March.
January or March? Okay. Okay, as soon as possible. So, at this time, anybody listening on the phone and anyone here can be heard. Y'all are invited to appear and make suggestions, recommendations, or objections to said proposed ordinances. And information concerning such ordinance is on file in the office of the city secretary. So does anyone have anything to say? No one?
Hello?
Hello? State your name and
address. Hello?
Hello?
David?
Yes.
It's David Holiday. And no, I don't have anything.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else?
Mr. Fowler?
Yeah, go ahead.
To me, it's been playing a long time. It's exactly.
Can't hardly hear you.
Yeah, we can't hear you.
Can you hear it?
Yeah, go ahead.
I said, to me, it's worked out so much that I work out with Liz and Virginia and all the property.
Mr. Talbert, you're going in and out. We can't hardly hear you.
Yeah,
we can hear you clearly, then you fade out, sir.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking that.
We can't hear you.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. I think I've been told to work with a long time, and the patient
is coming. All right, we can't hear you again.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry.
Thank you that part of the Vinnie property.
Yeah. It is. It's part of the Vinnie property. Used to be Marshall property, of course, and it's the land joining the existing SEPCO land, and it goes all the way, I believe, to the school old baseball field. I believe it goes all the way and bumps up against that, and then it goes out back from it. It's about 15 acres.
It's a miracle, Marshall Drive.
No, it doesn't go to Marshall. I don't know. Well, maybe it does. Yeah, it does. So we can have access off of Marshall.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Can't hear you, Mayor.
Yeah.
I say, I've said it goes that way for a long time. And this is the day of the fifth. You talked to me about that property bed. And it came back to it twice.
I'd like to get the same on the status of the sewer.
I'm down.
We can hear you again.
Hello?
You faded out again, Jane. And we lost you all together now.
You lost me.
Okay. And then we can't hear you. We can't hear you anytime.
I stopped talking.
We can't hear anything. Alright, go ahead. Yeah. Let's see if anybody else got anything. Anybody else want to talk? Do y'all have anything to say?
I don't know if they know it's like 100 trailer spaces for trucks.
Trucks, 100 spaces for trucks.
The building square feet is 11,368 square feet. The building 65 standard parking spaces. A total of 103 accessible spaces provided, so a total of 168 spaces, and it looks to me like, I think there were some concerns about trucks being going down that fire lane there, but it looks to me like there's a truck barrier, height restriction header there, so I'm assuming that trucks will not be able to come in or out of there, so they won't be able, no trucks really be able to go down there.
There's a smaller version of the Cisco there. If it looked like that, the bar would be there. Maybe we'll have another one. But if you want to see what it's going to look like, then you can go out there and look at that one and then pull more around.
I'm going to get a nice coffee the first day. Okay, anybody else? Can you handle the traffic on Eagle?
Cheers.
Okay. I know you do. Thank you. All right, anybody else? We're going to close the meeting.
Well, I think y'all covered quite a bit just then.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Okay, man. You got anything else to say?
The one on the airport, like
Sonia
City, is a very nice
setup. Yeah, it's going to be nice, very nice. Be an asset to the city. And so that they can go ahead and not wait on the sewer to get here, they're going to put in a septic system. And then when the sewer comes,
yes,
they will switch over to the city sewer. That will help everybody. The more people paying the sewer bills, the lower everybody's bills. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
Sounds
awesome.
All right. Thank you. Okay, if no one else has anything, it's now 6:15, and this public hearing is hereby adjourned, and then this regular meeting is now reopened for business. We'll go to the consent agenda. There's two items on the consent agenda. Y'all can consider them together, or you can separate them and consider them separate. Subtitle A is discuss and possibly approve minutes of October the 8th and October the 20th, 2020 council meeting. And Sonia?
I realized that I made a typo, and it should be the 27th.
Oh, sorry.
It's all the correct
minutes,
but I had the wrong day
out
here last week.
It's
July 27th.
It's
the day
October
27th.
Oh, so it's just two minutes, not three?
No, she's just saying that the date is wrong.
Okay. I thought that was a separate meeting. The 27th. There was no meeting on the
20th. Okay.
All right, I got it now. Thank you. And then sub-item B, discuss and possibly approve accounts payable for both the Water Department and the General Fund for October 2020.
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes for October the 8th and October the 27th with the corrections being from the 20th to the 27th of 2020, and that we approve the accounts payable for Water and the General Fund for October of 2020.
I'll second that.
Okay, motion made and seconded to approve both sub item A and sub item B. All in favor? All in favor. Thank you. Item number 4, council to consider, to discuss and possibly take action on the rezoning application of 507 Incorporated, 20102 South Interstate Highway 35, which is 20102 South Interstate Highway 35, Eddy, Texas 76524. This is the property we just discussed in the preceding public hearing.
I'll make a motion that we accept and take action on the rezone application of Fox Wholesale Incorporation, address 20102 South IH 35, 20102 South IH 35, Eddy, Texas 76524.
Change it. Rezone it from agriculture to general business district, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I'll second that.
Okay. Motion made and seconded to rezone the landing question here from agricultural to the general business. All in favor? Okay. 3 yeas. And nobody opposed. Thank you. That's good. Y'all did good.
Thank you.
Item number 5, council to discuss, consider, and also take action on preliminary plating located at 888 First Street. Owner is Steve Palmer. And I believe there may be some delay on that.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So, agenda item 5, I received an email from Johnny Hager, and it says, Steve Palmer, 888 First Street preliminary plat. I received the first 3 lot preliminary plat on November 2nd, 2020. And I received a notice by email of the revised 4 lot version on November 9th, 2020. I anticipate my review and report to be completed within 30 days in accordance with the City of Greenville and subdivision ordinance. This item should be added to the City's December 10th agenda discussion and action. So I'm going to ask that we move this to December 10th so that our engineer has time to review the new map. Like he said, November 9th, we got a whole new set of maps.
Yes.
So we're going to table it till December.
To December 10th. Yes, sir.
Oh, Tony. Yes,
I agree.
I agree with Tony. Do they need, y'all need to vote on that or not? To table it or postpone it?
I'll send it and table it for our next meeting in December.
December 10th?
Yes, yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. And you seconded it? Okay. Motion made and seconded to postpone this item number 5 and place it on the December 10th agenda. All in favor? All in favor? Thank you. Okay. Item number 6, engineering support on all projects, and he's not here, so Sonny, would you like to present that?
Sure, sir.
I think he's in a report or something.
Yeah, I have it in my hand. So I just read item 5 from Sonny Haber, and item number 6, engineering support on all projects. A, USDA road or RD new wastewater system. My final work on the project is on hold until we wait for the last lift station site. Today, I was in contact with Boyd Connor, Lisa Lyman, and a gentleman from Bank of America. They have sent out the appraisal. I know the final $250 payment to them for their final fees they required. So we paid $3,000, then we had to pay another $250 in fees to get the appraisal. So I certified, so we have a certified copy of when that was received. So we should be getting really, really close.
Did that give you some type of timetable of when they might have done?
When we originally started the Bank of America, they had said 75 days. But they're trying to, Boyd Thomas and Lisa Lyman, which is the home abstract, they're trying to get them pushed faster. So it is moving forward. It's just moving forward as a slow pace. So, again, I did mail out the final $250 payment, and hopefully they will be moving faster. They did say that they have sent for the appraisal, so it has moved to the next level to where they're going to do the appraisal. So we've made progress, it's just, again, it's slow.
So it's like they ordered the appraisal.
Yes, they ordered the appraisal. Like, it's been through all the red tape. Now they've ordered the appraisal, now we're waiting on the appraisal guy to go out and appraise it.
Okay.
And it should be in the final step, yeah. From my understanding.
As soon as we get that, we can complete the
steps. Correct. That would be the final decision, and then the project will start back with Johnny Chambers. And Johnny Chambers will have it. City will have accomplished everything we have to do.
I think the next step is get permission from the railroad to drill under their tracks.
Correct. And Johnny Chambers said that would take him approximately 45 days.
How many?
45.
Okay. And after that?
Right.
Supposedly, we should be ready to take bids, have a chance for bids.
Correct. And then at that point, we will be meeting with USDA for the reimbursement. We have all our receipts, we have all our invoices. We will get a very large check back from USDA to reimburse the city.
If I remember correctly, at the time, we actually take bids or maybe accept bids. At that time, they will release all the funds that the city has been out.
Right.
And they will also pay off a bond for the land that the city purchased out there for the location of the sewer plant itself.
Yes.
And there should be, $600,000 to $700,000 that will be coming back to the city that we have spent.
More than that.
Well, I mean, I said it being.
Well, it's about, I think it's like $1.3 million
yes,
for the land. So we used to charge $300,000 or
$400,000
for the land.
Yeah.
So give or take.
Yeah.
It's a large amount of money.
Yeah. So it'd be closer to $1 million that the city will have to be reimbursed and they can put back into the general fund.
No, the water fund.
In the water fund. Okay.
It's all water fund.
Okay. It's all water fund.
Yes, yes, that's okay. All water fund.
Okay.
So that's how we're
going to
do. That's
right.
All of the conversations
for the meeting.
Hallelujah.
So
did they decide what
kind of
plant they're
going to
put up there?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a pond plant. Okay. Mm-hmm. It'll be built for capacity for the city, or government the city. Then it can be enlarged again. Okay. Then it can be enlarged again, and another time. It can be enlarged 3 times to make it 4 times. What it starts out.
No, I mean, I just feel like I wasn't aware, you know, being responsible with it.
Yeah, it's fine.
You can't definitely not do it.
That's the best and the most economical for us. You know, we went and visited and decided what type of plan would be best for us, and that came out that would be there in our best.
And I would like to mention that I do have some plans on the sewer that Johnny had delivered to us.
Okay.
Because the citizens or council members would like to come in and sit. They're very large, so I can't, like, email them. But I can set you up there at a table and let you look through it. If anybody wants to come see them,
okay,
they're more than welcome. Just call and let me know you're coming.
Okay.
That way I make sure there's nobody else because of the color. Okay. But anybody wants to come see them, they're more than welcome to come visit.
Yeah.
And look at it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
Casey, everybody didn't hear that, that we will have plans here, Sonia will have plans here. If you want to come in and look at them, you're certainly welcome to call ahead of time. Because the city hall is so close to the public because of the COVID.
So we can make an appointment.
Okay, make an appointment when you come in and look at them. They'll be all spread out for you.
Okay, item B, Foster Branch Edition, Creekside Project. The contractor, Barlow Tank Inc., is nearly completion and should be finished next week except for the final cleanup and inspection. Then item C, Parkside Subdivision, Travis Cross. I received email that submittal for the project and I complete my review and submit a report to the city before December 10th council meeting. So that should be on this next meeting as well. And that's it for Brown Paper update.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any questions or anything about anything? Okay, let's move to item number 7, Public Works Report, Gene Spratt. Gene, do you want to come?
No, sir, he's actually at a meeting.
Oh, okay.
So he just wanted me to let y'all know that all of the wells are running. The Talbert well is running at 350. So we're back in service. Everything's been restored. They had a couple big leaks this week.
Friendly Oaks well.
Or Friendly Oaks. I'm sorry. I did the wrong thing.
No,
sorry. Friendly Oaks. Both of them
were
down at one point.
Yeah,
both wells were down.
So what is Talbert's pushing? Yeah, I thought it was 4.
Talbert's is 4. It's like 450 or something like that. It's 4.
So this one
I don't have that for me. But Friendly Oaks, I'm sorry, it's 350. So it's back up to what it was.
Okay, everything's back up.
Everything's back up and running.
And paid for.
Good. And paid for with cash.
Yes, with paid cash. Thank you. Item number 8, Public Safety, Police Chief Michael Dorsey. Chief, if you'd like to tell us what happened.
Staying busy, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
I did distribute my report to the mayor and council. I'm happy to answer any questions or discuss anything, if y'all have anything for me.
No, I mean, this where the folks don't see it. It was a total of 266 citations and warnings, 107 citations, and 159 warnings. So it was given. And they had 3 crash reports.
You're still advertising for another officer?
Yes, sir. All services. Yes, sir. I have one opening right now for an officer. And then the other thing that I'm really proud of is I've been working with the school on that campus safe alert system. And I gave the idea to Mr. Kilgore, the superintendent, and he's been very pleasant to work with, and he took the idea, ran with it. I believe he presented it to the school board, and they approved it. And the cost of that system's coming out of the school budget. But I think that's going to be really good. I mean, it's
excellent. That's one of the best things you've ever done.
Would you, for the people that are not aware of the campus safe system, would you explain that?
Sure. The campus safe system is going to be installed on all faculty and staff's computers as well as their cell phones. I believe it's a mobile app that is installed on their phones. And then anytime that there's an emergency situation, they can activate that system simply by pressing a button on their computer or activating it by their phone, and then it sends out an instant alert to not only all of us at First Way, but surrounding areas as well. On our computers, all our patrol vehicles have a computer in them, and I mean, it makes a really loud sound you can't ignore, as well as on the phones. And then it opens up like a portal where we can see where the alert came from, who sent the alert, where it came from. I believe it will pinpoint exactly, you know, what building, what room the alert came from, and then they can communicate with it by text or by typing a message on their keyboard. And we can communicate directly with whoever activated that alert. And there won't be any downtime because as of right now, you know, without the system, if something happens, you know, whoever calls in calls 911 and they have to relay the information to the dispatch, and then dispatch relays the information to us. And depending on what's going on, you know, that may take 2 minutes, it may take 10 minutes. And if, you know, there's a life-threatening situation, every minute is critical. I don't think that there's a cost, you know, that we can put on one person's life. I mean, there's not one. You know, the cost associated with this system is pennies compared to what it could be.
Now, this jumps up, the cost for this is paid by the school.
Yeah, the city or the police department, we're not going to incur any costs for that system. But I think that, you know, having that immediate response will really, you know, can save a life or, you know, whatever the threat may be. You know, we can get there, you know, ASAP. And then the school is also still open to the idea of having a school resource officer, just due to the whole COVID pandemic that's kind of been put on the back burner just due to how everything is right now. But the school does want to reapproach that idea later, and hopefully we could get a full-time school resource officer. That way an officer would be on campus, you know, all day, every day during the school year. And I think that in conjunction with the alert system, I mean, I wouldn't see it getting better than that. But there are a few, I know Waco ISD has a campus save, and I believe Mark PD does, I'm not sure who else, but there are some local school systems that have this alert system, and I've heard nothing but good things about it. I think there's some YouTube videos online that kind of show what the system does and how it's activated. But once everything gets up and going, then I can explain more.
Well, thank you, Ben.
And also on the Mr. Mendoza, he left for personal reasons, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then it's Mr. Flack. He hired September 23rd, Mr. Flack, Brian Flack. Looks like he's going to be staying on night shift once he completes his field training, and then Officer Martinez transition to day shift.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay, about when will he finish that training?
He's still in the first phase. There's three phases of the training, and
okay.
You know, I've always told my officers that, you know, I don't want to rush training.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still kind of, I don't have a tentative date. Hopefully by the middle to end of next month, he'll be on his own.
Year?
I would say for sure by then. But right now, I'm pretty much covering day shift every day and the weekend, and I've had zero problems doing that, no issues. All the night shifts are still fully staffed. So we're rolling right along.
We thank you, and all your officers for what you do for the
community.
Yes, sir. I especially want to commend you, Chief, and our Superintendent, Mr. Kilbo, on this safety program. That is really great.
Yes, sir.
And it makes me feel good to see the city and the school working together. Mm-hmm. Yes, very good.
Yes,
great. Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Item number 9, administration. A, discuss and possibly take action on appointing Jay Stewart as part-time code enforcement officer with insurance benefits. Sonia, you want to present that?
Okay. So, the reason I am doing this for cancel, although I'm not doing this for anything, I have a good person. I want cancel to decide on this one because of some previous issues, but also I can't authorize to pay a part-time employee to sell insurance. I don't do that for other people, and I don't feel like that's something I should decide. I feel like that's a cancel decision.
How many hours do you know about?
20 hours.
They don't pay insurance.
I was going to say, it would be a cancel.
You're
going
to do that. I'm going to assume that you can work around it. But well, I would have to make sure you get
in
before
you
do that.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but I know, I think it's
32
hours.
Yeah, I totally said, yeah. But there are some exceptions, but I can't, you know, try my head to say,
right, you know, do the good stuff. I was considering it the way he asked, but I didn't know if cancel would be willing to hire him without insurance in the head.
But he's wanting an hour because they was asking like 24.
Well, he said if he got insurance, he says he would be willing to do $14 an hour. But I don't know what
the only way that I can end it is we can go look in a couple of days, give you an answer if there is an exception. He said it was telling me more details. I can't say, yeah, we can plug him in.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, at this time, I think I'd like to make a motion to table this item, because I don't think, you know, we probably won't pay for it, time for insurance, and then we're not sure what he wants an hour if he's not going to get insurance, and so maybe we table this so you can find out from him, and then we'll go from there.
You want to make a motion for that?
Yeah, oh, yes, sir. I'm sorry. I'm making a motion that we table item 9A concerning Jay Stewart as part-time code enforcement officer with insurance benefits because obviously I don't think we want to pay him, issue him insurance benefits for a part-time employee. And then this will allow time for Sonia to get with him and go from there. And so we can table this until another meeting after she buys out the order.
That's right. Someone second. You second? Okay. Motion made and seconded to table our item 9 of sub A. All in favor? Okay. All 3A. Set item B there, council to discuss, consider, and possibly take action on citizen notifications. A citizen contacted the city administrator with a complaint about posting the theft code returning to Booth Levy. This citizen also voiced concerns about the post on Sandy Citizen regarding trick or treating notifications. Simon?
So I got a phone call from a concerned citizen. I should not have used the word complaint. I should have used the word concern. She was concerned that I had posted on Savvy Citizen about trick-or-treating and that I had posted on Savvy Citizen about we're getting a CEFCO. Her concern was that the CEFCO issue had not been brought up to Campbell in open forum. I explained to the citizen that CEFCO was able to come back on that property without canceled intervention, without coming to the board, as long as they stayed on that property. And I was excited. I just got super excited that we were going to come back without sewer, that we were going to clean that ugly mess up. I got super excited and I wanted to share with citizens. So I apologize if that offended anybody. And then the other concern she had was that I was asked by two different people to post about trick-or-treating. There was a lot of questions, I guess, on Facebook community and things like that. If the trick-or-treaters were going to be out. So I had posted on Savvy Citizen that there would be trick-or-treating at Eagle Landing and also at one of the churches. So because the citizen did come to me with this concern, I feel it's all right for me to come to council and ask council what your thoughts are. I understand why the citizen was concerned. I truly do. I should not have mentioned SEPCO. I should have kept my statement to myself. I just wanted to share my good news with the citizen. I also feel like she's probably right with the trick-or-treating. I should have probably not announced that to the citizen. So I want to know where the lines are for Savvy Citizen. Do y'all want to keep it strictly only water, trash, period? Or do y'all want to allow citizens to say, hey, Sonny, would you mind sticking this on Savvy Citizen for me?
Well, I mean, I think that this is a, could be a broad open question here that, I mean, I think local events, you know, like fire department, for example, and, you know, when they have their volunteer fish fry and chili and maybe burn bands, I think that's a great thing.
Okay.
Any church sponsored events, you know. My gosh, if we came back to church, there's something wrong with us.
Well, that's
what
I'm doing is that against any church.
Yes, no, no, yes, yes.
I mean, it's just a bad
thing. Right, we have to do them all. But, I mean, and it might be, I mean, this could be a discussion. I think that I really, to me, I'd like to table it for when we have a full council, and that way I can, you know, I can hear their thoughts and their concerns. And then maybe we can work together as a team and feed off one another and come up with a good solution for this. So at this time, I'd like to make a motion that we table this until our next meeting, if that's okay.
Can I just ask one thing?
Yes, ma'am.
For now, is it okay? You're going to table this, which is great. I'm willing to go with that. But will you add to your motion that the only thing I'm going to be doing is city, strictly city stuff until the future date, until the other council comes along?
Okay, well, let me ask you this. We're going to have this, we're going to table this until Tuesday night. Is that right?
Well, so whenever you say.
Okay, the next meeting. The next meeting
for the new council.
Okay.
They will just be coming on at the next meeting. You might want to put it down for the, maybe the second meeting or something.
For detail.
Yeah.
Okay.
We give them time to get in the seats and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, let's table it to the first meeting, what would that be, in December?
December 10th.
No, that's the Thursday, we have a Tuesday meeting too.
One thing I'm going to do at the next meeting is going to be on the agenda. If you remember, our meetings have always, as I just said before, it's been the second Thursday of the month only. The reason we have all these Tuesday meetings is because when we've got two vacancies on the council, the mayor could not call a special meeting, but they can set as many regular meetings as they want to. So we all decide to set every single Tuesday of the meeting. And if when those Tuesdays come around, if it's not necessary to have a meeting, the mayor and the councilors. And these meetings on Tuesdays cost the city $500-$600 each, or seven sometimes. And there's no need to have a meeting if you can postpone and have it all in one meeting. Like the reason I've been canceling these Tuesday meetings, and I've got complaints saying, well, why is that since the mayor canceling all these meetings? I said, well, it's not necessary.
Okay.
It saves money.
Well, first off, I mean, there was a motion on the table, but to go ahead and talk about what you're talking about, did you know how much the meetings cost? These meetings? No, I didn't either. So we didn't know there again.
I can break it down.
Yeah, we didn't know. I mean, yeah, I don't think it's $700. Unless
the lands was off about that.
How much
did
you put out the car?
Wait a minute, I didn't give the mayor that information. The mayor actually brought that to me. The attorneys are
$185 an hour.
I'm talking about if we didn't have the car, if how much would it cost for the telephone service, I guess?
Oh, well, if we didn't have attorneys, and then you're just, you got to remember, you have Pam, I'm salaried, but Pam is hourly, so we have a time and a half. So, the, you know, depending on who you have at the meeting, would depend on how much it's paid.
How much is the phone service cost?
The phone service, we pay that by the year, so, I mean, it doesn't cost anything extra for the phone.
Okay, okay, there we go.
But if we have an attorney, if you have an attorney, if you have an attorney. If I didn't say we had two attorneys, so it costs over $1,000 for that by the meeting. We don't need to waste money on that.
No, I agree, we don't need to waste money.
Okay.
We didn't know how much it was.
Well, I got to thinking about it, figuring out, I said, God, really, that's costing so much. That's the reason I didn't cancel those Tuesday meetings.
Yeah.
Well, if it's not necessary. Now, next Tuesday, we will have a meeting. Of course, we need to install the new, newly elected council members.
Well, we're not going to have nothing on the agenda but, for next Tuesday, but installing them.
I don't have anything.
And so we can put this on the agenda.
And you do.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that...
Well, they want to put it on my...
They put this on the...
Why not?
I'm like talking that with this item 9B, we put on the,
The
17th, November 17th, Tuesday's meeting. Table it, until then.
To the 17th?
Yes, sir.
So can we put something else on there, or we got to wait?
What you want, I can take that right now.
I want to put on there about a digital sign, and put it down here at the new city hall.
A digital sign?
Yes, ma'am.
On the 17th meeting? Yeah, if we're gonna put one thing, we could put, y'all could put anything you want.
Hold on, get out maybe?
I don't want to throw it.
But there's a motion.
Huh?
Yeah.
A digital sign.
Let's make a motion.
Motion is a second.
Yeah, do you second it?
Yes.
Motion made, seconded to, postpone this item B until the, November 17th meeting?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay, all in favor? Unanimous in favor. All right, thank you.
Well, the reason I'm saying, I thought...
So if y'all want anything on that next meeting, it's got to be in, the agenda will probably go out tomorrow, Sonia?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
You know, but this on there.
Yeah, I got the digital sign. I got nine.
Anybody else want to put something on there, just slap it in.
You want to go any cheeseburger?
No. Please,
all in favor?
Yes.
And now we're going to move to high C. Discuss, consider, possibly take action on parade application and waiver for the November 21st, 2020 proposed parade, Thanksgiving parade. Sonia?
It's me again. Me again, Margaret. I hate to say what we're going to say, it really does break my heart, but with COVID numbers increasing rapidly, and with Montgomery County issuing new public service notices daily, there's been 3 or 4 deaths just in the last 24 hours, and just Montgomery County. Numbers are doubling, and as much as I really wanted to do this parade for citizens, and as much as I really hate to even suggest that we cancel the parade due to COVID, I still would like for council to approve the parade application for in the future. Neil Purple has already, they've already done everything to make sure everything's legal. They already did us a notice and everything like that. So I hope council wants to approve the application for a future parade that we may have, because I really do want to start doing my Christmas parade. You know, a holiday parade, maybe a Veterans Day parade. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to start having more community events and things like that.
We need more stuff like that.
So I don't know if council wants to take action on the parade application and waiver and just don't make it for November 21st. Or can we do that?
And I would add this waiver, okay. Generally, with regard to COVID, the city is, it would be very hard to get by the Texas Tort Claims Act to sue a city or something for getting any ailment. But there's also one thing that happened back in the Baylor parade 15 years ago, a horse went wild, ran over someone, but this release, like, isn't a guarantee. You still can get sued, but this will give you more protection, but you can only get the participants to sign this.
Right.
You're not going to get someone standing on the street corner to release you.
Right.
But you can at least get the participants to release you. Then we did a little broadcast about the COVID thing here. If you put a hat in, you can at least put it in. But this will take care of the participants, the waiver. You really can't get the spectator to sign anything because you're not going to know who they are. They're just going to show up.
Well, it's like going to the NASCAR races.
Yeah.
When they come out, Connor comes up, some hits you with it. And brother goes, yeah, I'm fine. If that Connor hits you, Neil.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So can we, Neil, because the way this is worded here, discuss considering possibly take action on the parade application and waiver for the November 21st,
2020. I think you can waive it for all parades.
We're okay with that.
Never color, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm breaking out.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's ever going to leave.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion that we accept the release waiver of liability indemnity and assumption of risk application and waiver for any future parades. Okay. It's a 3-page item with 2 pages being the waiver and liability release, with a page being what we'll put it, I guess, in the paper.
Right. Or wherever you have tied it.
Right. Wherever else. Okay.
The motion is made and seconded to approve the parade application and waiver that the city attorney has just presented. All in favor? Unanimous. In favor. Okay. Item number 10 on the agenda. Council to discuss, consider, and possibly take action on amending Animal Ordinance 2020-1201 with the approval by the city attorney.
Can I start with a little bit? Will you get it? I think you're going to get last.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So let me kind of go through what the state ordinance, state law says.
Okay.
And the main thing, and Officer Dorsey can tell you that this is not a smooth process, especially right now in Clinton County, but we are breaking new ground. So it's very good. So let me start with, there is a statute that allows Officer Dorsey, or me, county attorney, or any citizen, to go and file a complaint when a dog causes seriously bodily injury or death to a person. And we're actually going through this process right now, and really can't go into details of what's going on right now, but once that complaint is filed, you can file it in the municipal court, the Justice of the Peace Court, or the county court. If there's a strong probable cause in this complaint, then the judge orders that the dog be picked up by the animal control authority. Bruce Lenny, as I understand, used to have an animal control authority, he no longer does. And I understand it can be kind of expensive, so I'll kind of go back to what we provide in our statutes. But we can't really change this one. So what happens after the dog is picked up is there's a hearing in 10 days. And if it is shown that the dog caused death or seriously bodily injury to a person, that dog will be put to death. It's not going to be right now, it's not the smoothest process because we're the first city to do this in Clinton County in as long as I've been working. And we're getting not resistance, but it's lack of cooperation because of it. Does that make sense? Because you kind of
can't have them here, you can't have them there. So, that's a good statute.
If you're saying bodily injury to a person, what about to another animal?
Okay, we're going to get there. But that statute one, okay? The second statute basically says, if the bodily injury occurs to a person or a dog, or a person, or a dog, then the owner of the dog can be charged with a felony of the third degree if that person with criminal negligence, which is a legal kind of criminal standard, you're not a little bit more than just civil negligence. It's kind of a more intentional negligence. Doesn't secure the dog makes an unprovoked attack, and the attack is not on the property. Now, because this is a felony, you can't prosecute that in this court. I can't prosecute it. That's to be handled by the DFDA. And they may or may not prosecute it, even if you have a good case. Especially right now with COVID, there's cases all over the United States not being prosecuted because they're having to take and shoot. That's the second statute. The third statute is the when a dog is dangerous to another animal. Okay? And this is the first animal situation we have. Basically, if the owner fails and supplies oddly enough dogs or coyotes, why in the world apparently people keep pet coyotes? I didn't know that. So if the owner knows that the dog is accustomed to run, worry, kill livestock, domestic animals, or fowl. So you got your dogs, your cats, your chickens, your cows, your horses, and the dog does that off the property, each one of those can be a fine for $100. Okay? I know that's not a serious fine, but that's a start. Now, one oddity is under that section, if you're defending your dog, livestock, domestic animal, and this is, I wouldn't advise my clients to do this, I was advising people, they can protect their dogs, cats, animals, and they can use deadly force to protect them. So, that's the second. The third thing is, if you have a dangerous dog, okay? And this is where we're going to try to tie your question about animals when they get killed. What can we do to help our citizens? And the statute that's been passed by the legislature says that a dangerous dog is a dog that makes an unprovoked attack on a person that causes bodily injury that occurs basically other than the place where the dog is kept. Okay? And if this occurs, then there's some hoops we can jump through that will then require the owner to do four things. And I'll come back to how they get notification. One, they have to register the dog with the animal control. The odd thing about that is we are having some real trouble in McClendon County establishing who is the animal control board. The statute says, like Bruce Lane, if we had a designated animal control authority in the city limits, the animal control authority would be whoever our animal control authority is. If you don't have an animal control authority in Bruce Lane, which most small cities don't, it falls upon the county animal control authority. And if there isn't a county animal control authority, it falls on the sheriff. But we're getting some. We're making headway on this last Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We're getting the sheriff's department to understand that and count. But this is a first for them. They had no idea about this. They contracted the city of Waco to do their work, but only specific things. So we're working on that. But you have to register the dog to animal control authority. You have to keep the dog on a leash at all times or secure it on your premises. You have to obtain liability insurance of $100,000.
and you have to comply with any applicable extra things to be. So, if the incident we had in the city that everyone's been talking about where the little dog got killed, that would not apply because this is only human. But what the city can do and what we proposed in this package that y'all are going to get is that we're going to extend it to not only humans, this statute, but to animals, domestic animals. So, in the future, if we can go back in time and pass the statute that I'm about to talk to y'all about, if we had that this statute in place, then we could go say, owner, your dog is a dangerous dog. And it's a dangerous dog, so you got to do 1, 2, 3, and 4. If the owner doesn't do 1, 2, 3, and 4, then the dog can be picked up. The dog is killed for 10 days until the person complies. If the person doesn't comply, and I got to get the number of days right, within so many days, I'm going to make sure I'm right, the dog can be put to sleep. So it solves, it basically makes the person more severe than attack on the dog. That's basically the groundwork. I don't think that's the case, but we look through the city of Waco, I look through 3 or 4 other cities. I don't think we can do a dog attacking a dog. Unless we jump through the dangerous dogs. So let's go
for it. Okay. And, you know, like
you said, dangerous dogs. Is that somebody that's not on mute?
Yeah.
Somebody's not on mute. We're picking up noise. Okay, it's stopped now. Thank you. There it is. Bye.
What we trying to do, you know, and that's why we're asking, we're trying to prevent, say, if you're going down the street, and he lunges at you, we're trying to do something before he gets a hold of you.
I completely understand.
Yeah, and then what's bad, we're just happening at, well, I don't understand, they have a fenced-in backyard, okay?
Yes.
Sort of the home. But the way I understood it, his dog was in the front.
That's right.
Yeah, and when the lady was walking by,
yeah.
But then he came out and, like a hawk coming out of the sky, you know, getting your little chihuahua out
yeah.
the backyard, just, we never grabbed him. And like I said, we're just trying to keep a vet or somebody.
No, I totally understand. And the problem is, I think that's going to be hard to prevent, because how do you know that until it happens,
right.
that you know that dog is dangerous? It's kind of like there's old case law that says you get the dog is 1 free bite. And I know that sounds very cruel to y'all, but you better have
3 shots.
Yeah, but the law in the state of Texas is if some domestic animal it's going to attack your chicken, cow, horse, dog. You can use deadly force if it's necessary. But that's a very gray area. But to allow you to put a dog down, now you can write in. So if a dog is going to attack you, you or your a child,
then are you saying you don't have to do put that dog down?
No, if the dog's about to attack me or my kid,
right.
I'm going to put that dog down my back.
Okay.
Pete person.
Yeah.
But
that's not the law.
But there is exceptions where you can use deadly force to defend yourself or your animals. The problem is, you can't say, it's like this. You're in the sheriff's office for many years. I think he's going to kill me. Can you do anything about it? That's the problem. That's changing because.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
But they had that movie that time where, and I know this.
Yeah, but yeah.
Where this lady
buzz from the boyfriend, and he was stalking her.
Yeah.
And she told him, you know, and he told her, he said, I'm going to kill you. Okay, I can tell you, you know, I'm going to kick your butt. They can't do that to me, but if I say, I'm going to kill you, that's a terroristic threat.
Yeah, well now, yeah.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, on the woman's deal, you know, she went on, sure enough, her boyfriend, whatever, he stalked her. Before the night thing, he stabbed her 13 times.
Now, what you can do, and Officer Dorsey started doing this, every time a dog is out, each offense is an offense.
Yeah.
And it adds up real quick. Now, we can't throw people in jail for not paying their fine that small, but at some point, they're going to get the message. Now, what we did, and I don't know if you got both our ordinances, because I sent one late today.
So, in that statute where I was telling you about if a dog is declared dangerous,
yes.
Okay, we're going to add that from just people to dogs, but we're also going to add. If you look on page, if you go to page, flipping through it, page 3, right above Article 3,
on the one you just gave us?
Yes, sir. We now, a person learns that there's four ways you can find out you have a dangerous dog. Let me tell you this so that. This is how you do it, boom, boom, boom. So, I've been dealing with the county attorney this week ad nauseum. And when I say ad nauseum, I've had probably 12 calls with him. And we're trying to work through this process because no one wants to come pick up the dog. No one wants to do, including the Justice of the Peace. And so we've made progress, but under the statute, you can know that you have a dangerous dog because the Animal Control Authority alerts you, or we find the other reason. There's one more. But what we've done is, and this may create a little bit of a due process concern, I don't think so. We may say if Chief Dorsey writes you a letter that says you have a dangerous dog, you're then on notice that you have a dangerous dog, and you've got to do 1, 2, 3, 4, or we can get the dog picked up, take it in. Now, we will still have to prove it's a dangerous dog, but once you're on notice, you've got to do 1, 2, 3, 4, or you've got to go prove they're not a dangerous dog. And that's what we've added to that, because now it will give him a little more freedom to move quicker. And I really do think overall, that's about as good as the city can get. Because you can't go impound a dog just because you think it's a dangerous dog. And it's completely, you can't say, we're going to eliminate this breed of dogs. If you make the ordinance only toward one breed of dogs, it's basically null and void. It's not going to work. So just because it's a whatever, Rottweiler, you can't say we're going to pick up Rottweilers because they're dangerous dogs.
Yeah, we're done.
That's fine. Ask all you want.
No, I had a friend of mine. He's dead now, but he's a great thing.
Yes.
He did a great thing. And behind him, there was a little boy, he was probably about 8 or 9, and he would get out there and kick the fence, you know, and the kid told him, he said, don't do that, so he will bite you. Well, one day the kid was out there playing with
basketball, football, and over the fence, okay? And text at the time had to be where a dog on his fence, long way. The boy went over in his yard, the dog grabbed him. He had to pay for medical and all this. They picked the dog up, quarantined for 21 days. They went to court. Well, they got text that. The judge said, for your dog, this is a dog. He said, no, sir. So he just, you know,
yeah.
Our pets, and, you know, I had signs up.
Yeah.
We were a dog. He said, so he knew he was vicious.
Oh.
And that's what I would have
for him.
He got, you know.
Yeah. And people put the sign up, even if the dog is vicious, it's just a different
property. Well, that's what I was asking, huh?
Yeah.
On this, on Article 2.
Yes, sir.
Should that say Article 2, Section A1, should it say right past A, should it say a person?
Again, that is talking at the beginning of point 822.01.
Right here. Shouldn't there be a person in there too?
I'm just trying to include cats and chickens.
Any dog that can come.
Okay.
That goes back. And then while you're thinking about that, because the section here.
Okay. So, number four, under the statute, already, and that's a great question. I'm glad the general definition of dangerous dogs is the same as unprovoked attack on any person. That's from the statute, okay, what the legislature passed.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've done is, this hereby adopts the dangerous dog as a meaning in section 822.041, which is verbatim what this says. Mm-hmm. That's where it says attack on a domestic animal or livestock, it says attack on a person. So what we've added is, the city is now going to have bull coming covered. We make
okay, but this the way this is worded here, it doesn't say a person.
Right.
It says we made a gamble or livestock, and then you only try to cover about a person, and then you talk over here.
Oh, okay, let me get the statute. Yeah, I completely understand where you're at, and you know what that tells me is you're paying attention. I'm fine, I'm all right, I'm all right. Hold on.
And then it says dangerous animal means an animal other than a dog.
Right.
So now we're not talking about a dog, we're talking about other than a dog.
We're talking about both. Now we've included a dangerous animal.
It says other than a dog.
Right. Because we now made it right. Because
a dangerous dog, you have a dangerous dog,
you could have a dangerous animal,
mm-hmm.
And it might be.
But on other than a dog, it says it has a person.
Yeah.
It has a person down here.
So this is, right, so look,
it says right here, on other than a dog, it says an unprovoked attack on a person,
because
he's an animal or not. But on the other one over here, it doesn't say a person, a medical animal, where it says dangerous dog.
Okay.
Includes any dog that.
To me, I'm not sure. Well, you don't have to. We can change it. Don't have to see why we don't have to. All right, come over here. All right, so. What section are we talking about? We're talking about number four on our outline, so it's 822.024. All right, so.
While you're looking at this, looking this up here, I'm thinking that this is a pretty intense thing, and I don't want to rush this. We need to get this right first time. And we might want to table this.
Okay, so. Dangerous stuff.
And this is a statute.
Right.
For sure.
What we're doing is we're adding to this. We're not going to rewrite this whole thing.
No, I'm saying
all we do is
add a statute.
Right.
So here, okay, your first question is, why do we not have person here? Okay?
Right.
And everyone, he's looking at page one at the bottom, A1. So I'm reading from 822.041, subchapter D, that defines the definitions. And a dangerous dog is only defined as, means a dog that makes an unprovoked attack on a person, that causes bodily injury and occurs in a place other than an enclosure in which the dog is being kept, yada, 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 yada. Okay? So now, this is here by definition. Dangerous dog has the meaning in section 822.041.
Okay.
So there's, we're pulling off of this, okay? Then, it doesn't talk about a dangerous animal. Mm-hmm. Or it doesn't talk about attacking the animal, okay?
Right.
So now, we cover people here, okay. We cover animals here, okay?
But let me ask you this. If could we add that for the person out here read our ordinance? You don't read our ordinance instead of them going to this state statute 822.041 and saying that it has person, we could go ahead and include that right here.
You could.
To help clear it
up. You could completely do that.
Okay.
Now, over here, dangerous animal is not defined anywhere in this statute. So we've now said a dangerous animal is an animal other than a dog.
Right.
That's your, where does it stand?
Yeah.
Right. It could be if someone had
an alligator.
An alligator.
Snake.
Yeah.
Any.
So now we've included
a duck.
Big old red chicken.
Right.
Well, I mean, here, that's what I'm saying.
Mark
Vegas.
That
was
You can say the person.
I'd like to make a motion to table this until a later meeting, and then we can, I would like to add that word, person, A1, and then bring it to us in another meeting where it's all on one ordinance.
So, whoa, before you start, we go too far.
So,
and not going to do that. Don't you just make a motion to table 9 out of 10 and we can...
Okay,
I'm making motion to table 9 out of 10. Okay, somebody second? Motion made, seconded to table from 9 out of 10.
You're going to get a verbatim copy all
right. 9 out of 10. All in favor?
This is
going to
be
your
I'm talking about adjourning this meeting.
Okay.
Thanks everybody for calling. Y'all have a nice night. Bye-bye.
We're not going to rewrite your whole order.
Right. Yeah. 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 Yeah.